Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, a very spirited round of liked tweets and who the F sells this S. I think you're going to find quite a surprise in that who the F sells this S. Almost a mind-blowing surprise. So stay tuned for that.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Wayne Fetterman. With Bald Brian on sound effects, Mike Dawson filling in on the news, and a spirited round of who the fuck sells this shit. And now, 4 out of 5 dentists agree. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. No choice. We've got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for listening and thanks for tuning in. We love that about you. Normally, we'd say hi to Gina Grad about now. I'll tell you a little more about that story. But and Bald Brian.
I don't like black people.
Easy, buddy. Now these mics are on. Right?
Whoa. These things are hot. Gina's father passed away. A short period of time ago. So Gina's going to be taking a few days off. She was very much in love with her father. Her father struggled for quite some time with an illness. And you know, that's why Gina's been sort of not here, because she's been wanting to visit her father, who was in a facility. And he's finally passed. So we know it's a very hard time for Gina and her family. And if you could send her tweets that support her and uplift her, that would be much appreciated. She's a very good person. She's a very sensitive soul. And she's very much in love with her father. And so this is a big hit to the Grad family. So our thoughts, prayers, condolences are with Gina and her family. And Gina will come back shortly, and if when she's, you know, willing to talk about it, then we'll get into some of that with her.
Says a lot about the listenership of the show, I think, that a lot of people have already reached out, you know, sending her nice thoughts. And generally, you know, I saw a lot of tweets that she retweeted or that she responded to, said, I listened to your dad, I didn't know him personally, you know, I was a big fan, and he obviously raised a you know, a great kid. So it's a nice reflection of our listenership, I think.
Agreed. So let's keep those nice sentiments and thoughts going toward Gina. I know it means quite a deal. It's quite a big deal to her, and especially during this time. So it really would mean a lot if you guys would reach out and have some kind words for her and her family. Thank you. All right, let's see. So we got just Bald and I today. Dawson's taking over the news, everybody.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, he's segueing into his stand-up career, so he's going to need a little extra mic time.
Got to get those reps in.
Going to be up on stage at Jam in the Van Speakeasy. It'll be March 25th out here in Los Angeles, and Loxy's playing as well. Loxy, you got a set list? Do we know what we're going with?
Definitely something finger popping. Yeah. We're still figuring it out, and I'll make sure you.
Not some solo acoustic originals.
No, none of those. Those don't really move the needle.
Well, but people are going to need to use the bathroom at some point, so maybe mix one of those in.
Okay, yeah.
Here's the signal to the audience: just say, "Here's one off our new album."
That's right.
And that'll be a signal.
Okay. I'll toss one in.
So
simulate a fire drill.
We got that. We got that coming up. We have the liked tweets, which used to be favorite tweets, but I don't know. We can't call them favorite tweets anymore. They're just liked. These are, you guys tweet me stuff. I like them, and got a couple of decent ones. I can't remember if we got before on Rich Man, Poor Man. I think we got one that says car cannot pass emissions, which is
classic or just junker.
Yeah, the classic Duesenberg is not going to pass it, and the AMC Matador that stepdad drives is not going to pass it either. And the other one that I like the deeper cuts, which is, and I think we did this one before, but I like it anyway, which is acutely aware of the price of aluminum. So either you're recycling cans and you're at the very bottom of the food chain, or you're trading in commodities and you need to know what those aluminum, what aluminum goes for a pound. Either way, the middle class need not apply.
Never knows.
All right, so we got the intro to like tweets here, Dawson.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Sent in by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
All right. In no particular order, what do we got?
All right. Well, first off, that Rich Man, Poor Man, the knows the price of aluminum was sent to you by at Angel Puncher. So thanks for sending that in. Let's start it off with people are tweeting you this LA Times article about hiking. The title of the article is Hiking Has a Diversity Problem. These BIPOC groups are working to fix it. BIPOC is Black, Indigenous, People of Color.
Uh-huh.
So
they're not the Korean boy band?
No, no.
Ironically, they are BIPOC.
Yeah. The article starts off with long-time oppression and historical barriers have kept many people of color from feeling comfortable in the American outdoors. Now, that may be changing. Groups inside of California around the nation have made it their goal to introduce.
Now, this is the great outdoors. This isn't just about going outdoors, right?
Leaving your home.
Because people of color, they feel comfortable leaving their house, right?
Yeah, I think they can get into the open
air. I saw that Friday's movie. Seems like they're out of the house.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are.
Groups in Southern California and around the nation have made it their goal to introduce people of color to nature in a positive way. And then they introduce groups who are working toward a more diverse outdoors.
Well, I would, you know, look, I would argue that this is good for everybody. Hit the trail, get outdoors, convene with nature, all that good stuff. And it's true that it's more of a geographical thing. Like, I grew up right in the middle of North Hollywood, California. It was just asphalt everywhere and 7-Elevens and coin-op laundries. There was not a lot of convening with nature. My parents didn't have the will or the transportation to really get us up the mountain. But it wasn't so much this was a bunch of white boys. It was just we didn't have the vehicle that would get us there. We didn't have the range to get anywhere, so we just sort of stuck in like a 4 mile.
Right.
We would get out to the Sepulveda Basin every once in a while.
Oh, God. Which, you had neither will nor wheels.
We would ride our bikes 6 miles to go to the Sepulveda Flood Basin and, you know, trench around.
Explain to people outside the area what that is, how sad that is.
The Sepulveda Basin, they have a little...
It's like a concrete sink.
Yeah, there's one side of it is sort of a dam, and the one side of it that has the dam has a weird futuristic kind of look from the 70s, and they would film movies there, like I don't know, Escape from L.A. and Big Trouble in Little China and stuff, and like car commercials and stuff would be like sort of on one side of the dam. That was just the opening that led the flood control into the L.A. River. But the L.A. River, as we've said, is not a river. It's just a cement flume that takes aqueduct shit to the Santa Monica Bay. The other side of it was kind of swamp. of just dragonflies and plants and reeds and things like that. And back in the day, a long time ago, you could just go putz around in the swamp. It's just polluted water, and you just roll up your jeans and, you know, get a little fan boat, a little Cox motor on it or something, and just sort of buzz around, but ride our bikes through it. But we used to do that there. But, you know, it's the premise is always that we're preventing certain groups from doing certain things. I don't know that anyone's preventing them from doing anything. It's just when you live in the middle of South Central, it's kind of hard to get up to Bear Mountain unless moms and pops have a car that'll get you up to Bear Mountain. But continue, Maxipana. But anyway, I do, as I've said, we're now at the point where there's so little racism, we have to find it on the hiking trails. But go ahead.
So they give about 7 or 8 groups that you can join, and they're hiking groups to help solve this problem. One of them is Latino Outdoors. Mm-hmm. They have a national they're a national organization with a Los Angeles chapter, and they call the process of removing barriers, quote, "the hike before the hike."
Ah, we got to remove the barriers. Are these tank traps? Are these Burmese tiger traps? What kind of barriers are we talking about?
These are the invisible ones.
The invisible barriers. Oh, please, dear God, if anyone ever tries to hold me down, do it with an invisible barrier.
I prefer those two.
Yes. I don't want the railroad tie over my neck. I want the invisible type of barrier that says I can't do something.
Much more preferable.
Yeah, and while we're at it, if you're going to put a ceiling, make it a glass one. I want to look up the skirt of the chick who's working above me.
The idea of Latina Outdoors is that people of color see themselves represented on the trail.
That's another, I feel, misnomer, this thing of, like, I need to see people that look like me hiking, otherwise I shan't hike. I feel like there's at least out here in SoCal, I see all kinds hiking out there and have zero thoughts about them looking different than me, but okay.
Well, then you're probably not going to be joining Hike Club anytime soon either. Evelyn Escobar grew up hiking with her tía, Spanish for aunt. As she went on excursions in national parks, she felt out of place as a black Latina and noticed that people looked at her funny.
Well, again, the look at you funny part, I don't think there's such a thing as me going on a hike on that horse trail behind my house without saying I passed somebody who looked at me funny. But I do not know how to define that. I'm not sure what they were looking at. Maybe it's because I wasn't wearing a mask.
Smoking.
Wheezing.
The dog was smoking. Never know. Yes. Anyway, she's out of place.
So she created a hiking community with an Instagram account and some friends a few years ago. They have over 20,000 followers, and they're killing it. So, and the other ones are disabled hikers. The one that bothers me the most is Outdoor Asian.
You guys are not welcome on the trail.
Well, all these people are talking about it. They have 20,000 people or tens of thousands of people, 33,000 of people at Black Girls Trekking. Outdoor Asians has 160
black
members.
Black women be trekking.
Oh, man, you can't stop a black woman from trekking.
Yeah, the Black Girls Trekking.
They have tens of thousands, and your Asians have what?
We have our Facebook group has 160 members.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we got to everybody get on Outdoor Asian.
Easy for you to take over, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of upside for Asian trekkers. Yeah.
But anyway, so that article tweeted you a few times, Adam, and that's in the LA Times. Now, let's move forward with
Hold on. Let me just say this. Adam, as it pertains to the funny looks and the, perceived racism on the trail, I haven't done a ton of hiking, but the little I have, my perception of hikers are amongst the most liberal members of our society. Like, these are people who want to convene with nature. We're probably very accepting. I don't want to generalize, even though I am, but I think of them to tend towards the liberal side.
Well, Brian, you bring up a very valid point, which is, and especially if you're talking L.A. Times, because people are out hiking around the Santa Monica Mountains and doing all these trails up above, you know, in Hollywood and all these. Yes, these aren't a bunch of guys who look like Rush Limbaugh wearing MAGA hats and carrying M16s. I would say that if you stopped your average hiker on your average trail in SoCal and said, where do you lean politically? I would say 84% of them would lean left, probably be...
Well, who did you vote for? It's
yeah,
gotta can, be
yeah, they'd say Gavin 85, Newsom. 85,
15.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So it's true. It's kind of funny when they do all the discussion about racism and systemic racism and racism, and they put it into a place like, you know, the school, you know, the school systems, the system schools. Who are amongst the most liberal people on the planet? The teachers' unions representatives, the faculty, mm-hmm. the administrators. I mean, especially in Los Angeles, the elite of the elite, the tip of the liberal spear is going to be teachers, schools, and hikers. Probably the same people hiking are probably teachers who refuse to go back to fucking work and do their job at this point. But if those people are looking at you askance, then I would say we have we've got our work cut out for us. Because and also when you pass people on the trail, it is a kind of a weird dance. Like sometimes it's narrow and somebody has to stand off to the side. Sometimes people have a dog and people look at the dog. Sometimes people are wearing something funky or different or weird, fanny packs or something. Like people all kind of check out the people that are going past them. I don't think as a heterosexual white male, I don't look at it as anything other than I'm passing someone in the trail. But if you want to read racism into everything, then be my guest, Los Angeles Times. Okay.
All right. Well, another thing that's been tweeted to you is there's a lot of hubbub going on with Tin Horn Flats. And we talked to your old high school classmate, Barrett Lapesian, a couple months ago when they were still open during California being in the purple tier, or at least LA County being in the purple tier. And you actually went over there to eat. Well, now that restaurants are starting to open back up, Tin Horn Flats has been ordered, one, to have their electricity disconnected, which has happened. So in right. response, they put up a bunch of generators at the restaurant to still serve.
Wow, it's an arms race.
And, yeah. And when they had the electricity disconnected, the judge said, look, we're going to forego the other order of padlocking the doors, but we'll just cut their electricity. Well, after the generator thing, the judge has now ordered to padlock the doors. And in response, Tin Horn Flats have removed their doors from the
wow,
building.
Wow, they're so saloon doors.
So you can't padlock doors that aren't there.
Yeah. All right.
That's a t-shirt.
Keep working, Burbank City Council and judges, to smash fucking taxpayers. And also, I mean, as previously discussed, I talked to Drew about this. There is no outdoor transmission. There's no outdoor transmission. So you guys deciding to cancel outdoor dining is completely arbitrary. It's based in no science. When Mark Garagos confronted you guys, you just went and hired a third law firm. You did not offer any proof as to why. And even the judge sided with Garagos, saying, look, guys, now you have to come up with some data that says it's dangerous to eat outdoors. You can't just randomly shut down businesses. And by the way, you'd already shut down the business, so the businesses moved outdoors. They got their plexiglass, they got their heat lanterns, they got their canopies. They complied with all your fakakta rules. It went above and beyond, and then you shut that down, which is the only way these places who are already hanging on by thread can stay in existence. Not to mention their employees, all the people that work for them and all the folks that bring the food and all the various different subcontractors that a restaurant needs in order to stay in business. But you shut all that down. These guys defied you, probably mostly out of desperation, but maybe they were just doing it because they thought it was their patriotic duty. And now it's time to punish them. And the real reason you have to punish Tin Horn Flats is not to punish Tin Horn Flats. It's to send a message to any other business.
It feels purely symbolic at this point, kind of on both sides, but it doesn't feel like it's anything's being born out of practicality or reason.
Right. It is. But then L.A. County, why is outdoor dining available now? Why did you lift it after 4 weeks? Why is indoor dining to, I don't know, 25% or 10% or whatever the stupid science says the capacity is? So here's the deal, Burbank City Council. Eat a cock. You fuckers need to eat a fucking dick. You made a mistake. You fucked up. Now give them a fucking fruit basket and apologize to them, or just keep squandering taxpayer money and going along the direction you're going.
If you're looking for the best dick in town, come to Tin Horn Flats. No doors.
That's right.
Lots of dick.
Lots of dick. Go down to Tin Horn Flats, Burbank City Council and Judge, and eat a fucking dick, you fucking. This is turning into some kind of republic. You know, everyone's like, oh, well, what do you, you know, what's with the hyperbole? I don't know. Not a lot of hyperbole here. This is what we're doing. You guys shut down a business for no reason scientifically whatsoever. They dared to defy you, and now they must be punished. But who's really getting punished? The guys who own Tin Horn Flats, all their employees, all the people that, all the distributors that work with them and provide their food and their drinks and everything else. Like, who are you really punishing, Burbank, other than another fucking taxpayer?
Garagos must know this. And have you guys talked about, is Burbank City Council somehow more onerous than the LA? Because if Burbank is its own city, for people outside the area, Burbank's one of the few, like, its own cities that can enforce its own rules, but it's obviously beholden to county. Are they more onerous than the county, or why is this? Where's the rub is what I'm getting at. Do you even know?
They're probably more onerous. We will catch people up on this when I talk to Mark. They're smaller and can probably focus more of their vitriol on crushing a private business than LA County, which is just bigger and more spread out, probably has more bureaucracy. But either way, go down to Tin Horn Flats, everybody, and get yourself a victory burger. Jesus fucking Christ, Burbank. I always knew Burbank was a piece of shit, but now they're showing it. And I don't know what the grand plan is, Burbank. Is this something you think is going to win over society or more constituents? You think more people agree with you than of a struggling small business that's been family run for 40 years in the same fucking location, paying all the taxes and all the pulling all the permits and doing all the stuff that goes along with that? All right, ass wipes. Jesus Christ. Ugh. Just the fact that they just... The fact that they do this shit with impunity is the scary part. Think about the fucking optics of this, you assholes. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Moving on. At Mr. Man 77 had a tweet for you. And we're gonna get into the details of Marvin Hagler's death in news. But he tweeted you saying, I was just gutted hearing about Marvin Hagler. His fights with Sugar, Roberto, Tommy Hearns are probably the best memories I have of the 80s. Please share your thoughts on the podcast. Of any memories that you have?
Hagler's an interesting guy. I mean, he had his name legally changed to Marvelous.
That's good.
So his first name...
Is he the dude that moved to Italy and like, yes. lived there for like decades? And...
Yes. He
interesting dude.
Changed his name to Marvelous. God, he was something like 56-3-3 or something. He had a really spectacular record. He was considered unbeatable during his reign as a middleweight. Of course, the Sugar Ray Leonard fight, it's a very interesting story. Sugar Ray had his retina detached, was sort of medically retired from boxing. I think Sugar Ray sat 62-3-2. That's a
wow.
That's a pretty substantial record. Sugar Ray just sat and watched Marvin dismantle guys during his, I think, three-year hiatus where he didn't box. And he said, I want to come back. And they said, like, well, who do you want to come back with? Like some sort of tune-up fight or tomato can or something. And he's like, I want to come back against Marvin Hagler. And everyone's like, you can't come back against Marvin Hagler. He's been destroying everyone, and it's been uninterrupted. You've been sitting around for 3 years. But Sugar Ray studied the films and had a plan. Now, if you watch that fight, and I did in its entirety when I was in Vegas several months back, Sugar Ray didn't win the fight. It was kind of a draw. He never really hurt Hagler. He threw a lot of punches and bunches. His whole thing was somebody slap on the ring apron when there's 30 seconds left in every round, and I'll just go to town at the end of every round and win the end of every round. And we've talked about it before. He never hurt Hagler, and Hagler, that didn't really hurt him. Sugar Ray was moving a lot, very inspired. Sugar Ray fought the fight of his life. He did not beat the champ. But it was so huge that he was off for 3 years, had the detached retina, came back, fought an unbeatable guy, and went all 12 rounds, I believe it was back then, that they gave him the win. And Hagler,
he defied expectations.
Yes,
he exceeded expectations.
He exceeded expectations, and I think they graded him a little on a curve, and they gave him the win. And Hagler was disgusted by it. And Hagler said, "Fuck this! I'm retiring. I'm moving to Italy. I'm doing movies." And he left on the table some massive paydays. He could have had, you know, a second fight possibly with Sugar Ray. He had another fight with, could have had Hearns, Duran, or whoever else was in the division back then. Big time payday. He retired at probably 34, maybe 36. He was, you know, youngish. He could have had three or four mega payday fights before he retired, but he said, fuck it. And Lord knows, I'm sure they tried to get him out of retirement quite a few times. There had to be quite a few promoters saying to Hagler, come back to the States. One more fight with Sugar Ray. We'll get
a lot of money in it for you.
Oh, I mean, he could have made 15, 20 million bucks, and that would have been circa 1993 or 92 or something like that. But he never did. He never came back and stayed in retirement until he died. So for that alone, we should appreciate the man. Ann was a great, great fighter. Ann, Brian, one of the first bald guys.
I know.
Back when bald really meant something.
Meant something.
I know.
But now you can go bald, you just be a part of the trend. I see you bald people. It's not going to work.
Right. But Hagler was an early adopter of the bald dome. And really, I would say, sort of like Tyson, in that he was one of the most feared guys in the division for an extended period of time, like probably almost a decade of being that guy. Also, think had a half brother named Sims or something who was pretty good, but I don't think he would fight him because he's his half brother. Although the average person fights with their brother physically way more than they fight with strangers. So
might as well get paid for it.
Right. I wouldn't say that that's an excuse. And as far as the mom goes, it's win-win because either way, her son's walking out of there holding a strap above his head no matter which one fights. Which was it Sims?
Robbie Sims.
Robbie Sims was his half-brother?
Yeah.
He was a good fighter too, and they would never fight, but they were I don't know, what did Robbie
I think
say?
I'm looking at it, it might be full brother and also a southpaw.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, Robbie Sims was, but then how did Hagler and Sims come about? Like, I got a sister, but her last name is Carolla. It's not Sims.
Yeah, all the, yeah, I know.
She's a featherweight.
I
think
fight.
They would note
would
that it's half brother, but everywhere's just saying brother, but maybe they're just being generous.
I think they're rounding up because oftentimes, when he's a full brother, you share the last name.
Typically,
Brian, do you find that
almost always?
Does your brother use your last name?
He does, and rarely with exception.
Yeah, I would say. And then, furthermore, if your brother was Marvelous Marvin Hagler and one of the best pound for pound fighters of all time, and you were getting into the boxing game, I feel like you would keep the Hagler. The Hagler name, even more reasons to do it. So probably half-brother with Sims.
I'll take it.
What was Sims's record? What did he end up doing?
Sims is 38-10-2.
Yeah, he was a pretty good guy. He was in the same division. All right, what else we got, Max?
All right, let's do one more. At Zaza asks, Adam, did you ever watch MASH when you were younger? I'd love to hear your thoughts on the show.
God.
MASH was appointment viewing.
It was a TV show in Adam's youth, so yes, he absolutely watched
Yes,
it.
Was it on? Yes. If it was on TV and I was alive, that's all I had. MASH was a show we enjoyed, All in the Family, you know, it was of that ilk. It started to kind of jump the shark when Alan Alda got kind of woke. He kind of went from actor to spokes
activist,
you know, kind of thing. And he had some stuff to say, and he started working the message in a little more than the comedy. And I actually, Chris pulled a clip of my audiobook of In 50 Years We'll All Be Chicks, and I think MASH was discussed.
Let's talk MASH for a second, one of my favorite TV shows of all time. I was watching a rerun of MASH the other day. By the way, I've seen the show 2,000 times, but never noticed one important thing. Alan Alda's huge dry mop of 70s hair. And BJ Honeycutt's massive pube fro and walrus mustache. And then it dawned on me. This show's supposed to be about the Korean War. The Korean War, or conflict, as you angry veterans would tell me, took place from 1950 to 1953. Not only did no one in the military have that hair, no one in society had that hair. Trapper John was rocking a full-blown Jufro in what was supposed to be 1950. Back then, no guy left the house without a handful of pomade. And the only guys with mustaches in the 50s were either carnival barkers or Latin band leaders. And theirs were dripping with wax. At least on happy days, they attempted to look like their hair was living in the same decade until somewhere around season 3 when Ralph Mouth said, "Fuck it, I'm getting a blow dryer." And that's when everyone's hair jumped the shark. I blame Elvis for this phenomenon. He made 425 movies in 9 months, which meant whether he played an Old West gunslinger or an Egyptian pharaoh, his hair always looked like Dick Clark circa 1955. By the way, MASH aired from 1972 to 1983, so the show lasted nearly four times as long as the event it was portraying. The only other time in television history that happened was Roots.
Well, there you go. It turns out I had strong thoughts about MASH about 11 years ago when I wrote that book. All right, we got Who the F Sells This S coming up. All right, we'll take a quick break, come back with Who the F Sells This S right after this.
And now, a tip from the 1965 issue of Good Housekeeping. 120 ways to please a man.
It's easy to stay slim when there's a reason. He likes you that way. Control figure faults with daily exercise and correct posture and watch those calories.
Just one of 120 ways to please a man. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Posture used to be a big deal. All those sitcoms like, "Dear, stand up. You'll stand up and pull your shoulders back. No man will want you if you're slumped over. Put this book on your head. Walk across the room." That was always the big deal when someone was entering a beauty pageant back then. All right, we got Tony with an I. That means it's a woman, right?
Most likely.
Pasadena.
Got some, you stop by our house on the way home.
I shall.
When you're not trolling for prostitutes on Craigslist, you'll notice some crazy stuff for sale.
Knife block. Perfect condition, but no knives. $1. Cash only.
So it's time to answer the question, who the fuck sells this shit?
All right. There we go. Now there's Tony. Tony?
Yes.
You are selling vintage clothespins?
Yes, I am.
And what is vintage about? Is this old wooden kind?
No, they're actually from the 80s. And they're like these round circular discs. And they're like an alternative to the old-fashioned clothespins.
I'm not sure. So, scary that the 80s are now vintage, but I guess.
I know, isn't it? It's horrible.
They're like chip clips the size of a quarter that you pinch on top of the clothes, obviously.
Yeah, and then you would just like use that instead of the old-fashioned wooden kind. And they're a little bit more colorful and decorative.
And who is hanging clothes on a clothesline these days?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm scared personally to do it because I've seen way too many movies where as soon as I'm done hanging the clothes, a bunch of convicts jump over the fence, pull them off, and change into them. out of their prison jumpsuit so they can reintegrate into society.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's a possibility, I guess.
It's a real possibility.
Judging by movies, it's 100% possibility. Yes.
So, $5, what did you pay for them?
I actually got them, I think, at an estate sale. Because they were just cool. And, like, this is cool. Something's cool to get.
Yeah.
And then really? They were like a couple dollars. I think it was like $2 or something. So I want to make a profit on these things.
Yeah. You know? Is this how you make your bones? You walk around at estate sales, you buy things for $2 and then sell them and spend 2 weeks selling them for $5?
It's called flipping. Yeah,
I try to. A couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. You know, it'll add up.
Yeah, it'll add up to a couple bucks, but not, yeah. Not that much. What's going on with you, Tony, that this is where you ended up?
Well, you know, I've always been a yard sale person, you know, it's more of a hobby than like a money thing, but it's mm-hmm. just, you know, it's just something fun. I like the vintage stuff. And the thing that's crazy, like I'll go to yard sale. I don't really ever buy on Craigslist, but people buy on Craigslist and they'll buy the craziest thing. Sometimes, I sold anything from like a measuring cup, an actual just one measuring cup. Someone came and bought that. Mm-hmm. I've sold my biggest, craziest sell probably was I used to be a runner in high school. And so when you go to 5Ks and stuff, you get trophies and ribbon. They give trophies to anybody. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, had a collection of these trophies that I carried around from, you know, house to house to house in a big box the size of a trunk. And one day I looked at them and I'm like, what am I doing with these trophies? Like, I wanted to get rid of them. So I'm like, I didn't want to throw them away because it's, you know, I worked hard on that. But I wanted to donate them, but nobody wanted to take them. So I put them on Craigslist for $5 and somebody actually, believe it or not, came and bought about, you know, 100 different plaques, trophies and medals for me, for $5.
What if for the raw material?
They actually said that they were going to do it for a nonprofit they were having. They were going to do some sort of like skating, like derby thing, and they were just going to give out some trophies. So
was your name on any of these things?
No. Of course, I took anything that had my name off. I pulled it off. But so I kind of felt better than throwing them in the trash. You know, it was just kind of like, at least give them something to. I feel like I'm not throwing all my hard work in the trash. So,
retired, on disability, probably. What's going on? Divorced? What's happening?
So I'm 54. Mm-hmm. I actually am going through a divorce right now, and I'm actually home with mom and dad.
Oh boy!
Yeah,
they must be delighted.
They are delighted.
Mm-hmm. And
so, yeah, this is where I've been. So this past year has been pretty rough. You know, my parents are older. So I've been kind of here just with them.
You think
not
you're,
doing much.
Don't you think your ex may have wanted some of those trophies and ribbons as a sort of a keepsake?
Yeah, I don't think he cared.
Mm-hmm. And
as a cause of the divorce.
And why didn't you keep the house? I mean, why you have to move in with your parents?
Well, we sold the house, and I actually moved out into another place, and then, oh my God, my life is so sad. Then I lost my job, and so at that point, I figured the best place to do is move in with my parents so that I could find a place that I was comfortable with, didn't have to rush to get something. And then COVID hit, and my parents are 81 and 86. So I decided to stay here with them, just to get them through that.
What's that like? I've visited my parents for about 50 minutes at a time, and it's about 47 minutes too much each time. I couldn't imagine living under the same roof in what I'm guessing is a modest house, right?
Yeah, I know. Actually, our house is a pretty decent sized house. It's a lot of room, so I have my space. But I feel like I'm a kid. I feel like I'm 17 years old again. It's ridiculous. I just, I don't suggest it to anybody
no.
to do this.
No.
Not a good thing.
Because
it's like, same house I grew up when I was, you know, I'm 16, 17. I was living in the same room that I am right now. So
oh, you're back in that. Wow. It's a Will Ferrell movie. Yeah. We got to get you. What's your profession beside this super lucrative, fast-paced world of flipping shit you get at yard sales for $2 profit? What else do you do?
So I was, another thing, the more I talk, the more you're going to be like, oh, this poor woman. I was in the restaurant business. I actually did like the accounting and stuff for different restaurants, and that all went down the tubes this past year. So I've been on unemployment. We are going to be opening up, thank God, next month. So I'll get back into that.
Well, this is a good point, which is, you know, we always go, we close these restaurants down. What about the cooks? What about the waitresses? You know, and that kind of stuff. But then all the other people that
That's
support.
A big web.
It's a big web, so it affects the people who do the accounting as well. So
100%, 100%, and then like the vendors and like you know the people that sell wine, and it's way bigger than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah.
But thank God we're going to be going back next month. I'm so excited.
Any dating prospects on the horizon, Tony?
I do actually have a boyfriend. Me and my ex-husband were separated for quite a long time, so but I do have a boyfriend who doesn't who doesn't understand my Craigslist selling stuff.
Yeah, because he's human. But does he have his own pad, or is he living with mom and dad too?
I don't want to tell you that.
Oh my God! If he's at home,
if he's in the
house. I can't even tell.
He's back at home.
Okay,
oh
so he is at home.
Oh, dear Lord. Combined age, 111 years old.
I know.
And
it's
living
so
at home.
Sad. My life is so, my sister tells me, like, oh my God, my life is so. I go, don't even start with telling me your life is anything. Like, until you're in my shoes, then your life is.
How old's your boyfriend?
He is 50. Okay, so his situation is, okay, so he was married also. He has twin boys who are, they're like 11. And so when he got divorced, he wasn't in the situation where he could, you know, get another place. They sold the house. So with his boys, he decided that he would live with his mother in the house that she has.
I'm gonna apologize to my dad because I used to make fun of him because when he got divorced, he just moved out and moved into his in-law's house in one bedroom and just slept on my grandfather's sofa. And I thought that was pretty atypical. I thought it was kind of peculiar. I thought it was, you know, a Jim Carolla type move.
Right.
As I said comically, this makes Drew laugh his ass off because my dad's the kind of guy who has no money and no work ethic, but a lot of pride, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when I said to him, why'd you live on Grandpa's sofa? Why don't you get an apartment? He went, I had no money. And I said,
right.
How old were you? And he's like, 42. And I'm like, why didn't you have any money? He goes, I was a school teacher. Which is supposed right. to get me to back off. Because like, oh, I see. Well, the guy was doing something noble. He was volunteering. No, he wasn't. He was a school teacher. He could have had money.
Yeah, full-time job.
Yeah, theoretically.
Right.
Yeah. How old is this guy?
My boyfriend?
Yeah.
He's 51.
51? Oh, Robin the
Cradle.
Yeah,
his reason for staying there was for his kids because, I mean, you know, they have a cul-de-sac, they could ride their bikes, you know.
He's living at home, you're living at home. I'm going to put this delicately. Do you guys fuck in a dumpster? Or like, where do you actually become intimate?
Oh my God, I know, it's horrible.
You got your dad moving down the hall.
Oxy dandies.
Oh my God, yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, we really need to work on this, don't we?
I would say it's a goal. I like that. I hope that your sister's wildly successful and like married to an orthodontist and living in Tiburon. That's the only thing that would make this story better.
Yeah. Do you see how when I tell you, like, she's telling me, oh, my life, this, I'm like, don't even start with your life because, yeah, no, it's, but, you know, I'm happy. You
really?
Know, and that's,
are you?
You know, yeah, I mean, because, you know, when I was married, it was rough. There's times that it was rough. And
I get it.
I'd rather be happy in this. It's not permanent. You know, I'm not going to, this is not a permanent situation.
Isn't it? No, I'm just being a dick.
Right?
All right, so you get along with your parents.
I do. I love my parents.
I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're great. They're good. They don't really, you know, they don't get in my business and stuff, but.
Yeah, I get it. So. All right. So I would say that your boyfriend's unemployed as well.
No, he has a job. He's been working from home. He's doing it more for his kids because, you know, I don't know. I think back to like when I grew up and it was, you live in a house, you like, I don't know. It's just, it's different than an apartment. It's nothing wrong with an apartment or anything, but mm-hmm. It just gives them more space and more room. And so he's doing it for that. And so I guess maybe,
I'm trying to picture where you may have met this guy. Like, is there a dating app, like Silver, Living at Home Singles? It's got to be some sort of app for dating app for adult children that are living at home.
No, I met him at a 80s bar.
Wow.
All right. Well, the clothespins are $5, right? Hey, buddy. Oh, we got Richard Blaine over here. We got Jed the Fish over there. We got Kevin and Bean over there. We got Duran Duran Superset coming your way. Hey, someone hand me that Rubik's Cube. This is an 80s bar. Hey, quit your grin and drop your linen. You want to see a bunch of gals that are living at home? We got Jade. Jade's not here. Oh, she's putting together her dad's walker. Oh, she can't go out until her dad falls asleep. Okay. Alright, she's putting together one of those shower chairs, right? Okay. We got other I say we had a Duran Duran superset. We got Soft Cell superset coming up. We got a Hazy Fantasy superset coming up. And coming to the stage, that's Tony with an I. Don't worry about it, Jet. She's available. And when I say available, I mean available for a home, available for a job, available for a career, available for life, and available for your lap. Who likes clothespins? Who's got delicates? They don't want a machine dry. Nobody? All right, maybe it's not the demo I'm looking for. Hey, Tony?
Yes.
I think things are going to turn around for you very quickly.
I hope so. I do hope so.
And this new guy, he's gainfully employed doing what?
He works at a, he's in the billing department. He works at a big company that puts out, I don't even know what they do, honestly.
I know. But no woman really knows what a man does.
I know. I don't know. He has a job, so that's
good.
All
good. Don't sweat the details. All right, baby. Good luck to you selling those clothespins.
All right. Thanks so much.
You sell 7,000 more units of that, and you'll have the cleaning deposit on your first apartment in Pasadena.
Exactly, right?
All right, baby.
All right. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. See, everyone's got a story. We got Jen over here from Oklahoma, line 2. Jen?
Yes, sir.
You have your raccoon lover?
I am.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And what are you selling?
Well, I'm actually selling the overflow, the multiples. I have a few repeats, and, I could part with them. I figured maybe there was someone else out there that was just in love with raccoons as much as me and might enjoy them.
Well, why are you parting with your raccoons if you're so in love with raccoons?
Well, that is, it's a fair question. I haven't done a count, but I have a very excessive amount of raccoons and, some I love more than others, the Marie Kondo thing. If you don't love it, and some look a little too much like squirrels and, maybe it's time for them to go. I don't need four of the same and, maybe someone else needs some some happiness in the form of a raccoon.
Well, we're looking at a picture of you right now with a raccoon that looks like he's trying to protect his identity by staring into his navel.
Forgive my extreme ignorance. Are these live raccoons? Are these stuffed raccoons? Are these toy raccoons? What are we talking about here?
Well, take a look at the I did send another one. They're all of the above, except for I do not have any live ones. No. So okay. They are everything from stuffed to clothing to wall art to knickknacks to desk accessories. Honestly, if it comes in the form of a raccoon, I own it. I bought another mug this weekend. Walmart had a cute raccoon one, so I thought,
I see a person in there on the top left.
Yep.
There you are, buried in your pile of raccoon stuffies.
Yep.
I don't know. You know, Allie Al and Petey Panda are getting a little worn out. Maybe Sonny would like a new raccoon. You know, a stuffy, as they say. How does this stuff start? You know, you talked about the mug. I feel like this stuff starts when someone gets you a raccoon mug and then people decide. People are lazy. They're always looking for an easy Christmas gift. And if you're not a boozer, if you're a boozer, then they just get you a bottle of scotch and, you know, everything's good. But then once you get once you become the raccoon person, people then get you the stuffed raccoon, the raccoon mug, the raccoon, you know, erasers for the top of your pencils. Where do the raccoon things start, Jen?
I mean, really, you're 100% right. That's exactly what it is. Even I had to question it. You know, maybe 5 years ago, I realized, gosh, where did I get all these? And sure enough, I became the girl who likes raccoons, and I don't hide it. And so every gift, every holiday or birthday or whatnot was a raccoon. I probably one of the very first stuffed animals that I ever had that I actually remember. I certainly had plenty. Never called them stuffies. I think that sounds weird. But one of my very first stuffed animals was a raccoon. And I still have him. His name is Fluffy, not Stuffy, but Fluffy. Mm. And, you know, I came attached, and I think I decided, you know what, raccoons are my thing. So.
Look at the top of the picture we're looking at. We're looking at a myriad of raccoons. At the top, there is a tan, what I can only think is a raccoozy, or a raccoon beer goozy.
Yeah.
You see that thing right at the top center there?
Yeah.
I had a cell phone holder at one point. I think I still have it somewhere. Yeah. Various slippers, hats. You name it. I own it.
And you're looking to lighten the raccoon load a little bit? Around the house.
Well, this is all I'm really willing to part with. Now, what you didn't see was there is another posting of a couple pieces of wall art. Ones that, you know, I bought on impulse because I said, you know, I'm a raccoon lover and I want this. But then I got it home and I said, this is kind of ugly. So, so some of them I don't love as much as I wanted to love. And it was more out of habit purchase. But,
I hate to go back to this well, but single gal?
I know. I like the other gal. I currently am single. I don't blame it on the raccoons, though. I travel a lot for work, so.
Shocking. Hey, Jen. Tell us something about hold on. I got a head rush now.
Jen, do you like the song Rocky Raccoon by the Beatles?
I don't know that I've heard it.
What?
What? This is the greatest day of my life. This is now the greatest day of my life.
What?
This is the greatest day of my life. I'm sorry, birth of twins.
I'm not a huge fan of the trendy raccoons.
There's nothing.
Right?
Nothing you could say. I like George Harrison, but I like his solo work. I didn't like the Beatles there's no words.
One day, his woman ran off with another guy.
It's a plucking song.
Hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky didn't like that. He said, "I'm gonna get that boy." So one day he walked into town, booked himself a room in the local saloon. Rocky Raccoon.
This is your song.
Checked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible.
Hey, Jen.
Yes, sir.
That sound familiar to you?
Not at all. So thank you for sharing that and bringing that into my life. I probably
this
will
is
never
the, listen this is why again. We have to do why the who the F sells this S because
that's this classic.
Jen, how old are you?
I'm 41.
Seems like you're old enough to know the Beatles.
Yeah, I'm not a big music person. Is that weird? Yeah.
Yeah. What if you collected Beatles? Do you think you'd know about the band the Beatles? Or
the midlife shift.
Probably.
I bet half of the raccoons you own are named Rocky.
I don't name them. Just the one. Just the one.
Some of them must come with little tags
like
and
tag or something.
Charm bracelets that say Rocky on. Doesn't sound familiar. No, Rocky raccoon. And not familiar.
I'm still wounded by this.
Wow. What if, Brian, if the Beatles did a song about Paul Newman race cars, do you think I would be aware of them?
At least have had it brought up to you on probably a couple of occasions. Minimum.
Don't you think others, Jen, if you think back on it, have brought up the Beatles' Rocky Raccoon to you?
That's the most iconic pop culture reference.
Nobody has. I'm actually kind of shocked. You're right. Why haven't I heard about it? That's a very
Chris, anyone, is there a more iconic pop culture reference to raccoons?
No.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, now with Rocket. Okay, all right.
But that's 10 minutes old. And he was probably named Rocket after Rocky, just with a little alliteration. What do
this
we
is
need?
On the White
raccoons
album.
Are very trendy now, guys.
It's on the White Album.
Everyone's putting a raccoon in things.
What do we need to know? But you can't be all things raccoons and not know a song dedicated to raccoons or with the name Rocky Raccoon on the White Album, on the Beatles' White Album.
You made that statement. I didn't say all things raccoons. I just told you what I collected as far as, like, objects.
Fair.
Yeah,
you put
that.
Me in my place. All right. So, Jen.
yes, sir.
What do we need to know about the majestic raccoon that we don't? You know, are they family-oriented? Are their brains, you know, are they smarter than a three-year-old? You know, what do we need to know about the raccoon?
Technically marsupials.
Yes.
Nocturnal. Guys, I'll be honest. Here's the other thing that you're going to probably want to hang up on me.
She knows nothing about raccoons.
I don't know all the trivia on raccoons.
Yes. Why would you? Of course you don't.
I don't. It's not something in my mind.
I like how she led
me
nocturnal.
Cuddling them and looking at them.
Very cute.
I'm picturing Jen getting in one of those trivia groups. Brian's done this where you form a little pod of trivia people. Everyone kind of has their strengths. College, you know, Brian would be college sports and things of that nature. Others,
some people know, you know, theater.
Yeah, some in theater. And then you're all together and there's a question about a raccoon and everyone just looks
all
at you and goes, oh, this is going
to
be awesome.
For the
win. Jen's like, I'm wearing a coonskin hat right now and a raccoon baby Bjorn, but contrary to popular belief, I know nothing about
Jen,
raccoons.
Jen, your house is festooned with raccoons.
Yeah. No, all of that 100% accurate, except I wouldn't do the coonskin cap. I don't do those.
Oh, yeah. No,
yeah,
that's,
she draws, yeah, she's,
yeah, that's in poor taste. That's in poor taste. Yeah. You must hate Fess Parker. It's a deep cut. All right. I think he played Daniel Boone. And if you're not going to know Rocky Raccoon by the Beatles, I think the Fess Parker as a reference is probably a long shot.
Davy Crockett.
Oh, damn. Davy Crockett.
Come on, buddy.
Damn. Daniel Boone. Yeah, Davy Crockett. But that was Fess Parker, though, right? But he wore a coonskin hat, didn't he? Davy Crockett?
Famously.
Yeah, right?
Yeah,
all right.
Famously.
I just picked the wrong guy. All right, but it was Fess. Let's see. Rare alien mask, $6. Ghostbusters keychain. Now,
I don't know how we recover from Jen.
It's going to be difficult. Michael's in Culver City, so he's local, Brian.
Oh, I'm going to swing by his place.
You still have that Ghostbusters keychain I got you for your 40th birthday?
Yeah, it's hanging my keys right now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have used
right.
it a lot
well,
in COVID, you can imagine.
Yeah, I understood. Hey, Michael?
Yep, right here. Thank you.
You got a Ghostbusters keychain?
Yeah, it sounds like it's not too out of the ordinary if you've already given one of the gifts.
Eh, Brian loves the Ghostbusters. Yeah.
This is the 35th anniversary one, Adam. You just got me a generic one. This is the 35.
With a bottle opener worked into it, right?
Big time.
Yeah, the bottle opener. I mean, this was part of, I don't know if you know, anyone was in attendance at the Sony Studios 35th anniversary Ghostbusters Fan Fest.
Did you just walk down there, Michael? I mean, you're in Culver City. It's very close to Sony Studios.
Culver City is very long, as you know. It goes from Fairfax all the way, you know. So we weren't exactly walking distance, but it was close.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, this was part of, like, the VIP package, you know, a bunch of swag and merch included. And it was a very nice or generous kind of gift that was provided. And I realized after sitting on it for like 2 years, you know, I'm like, this is better off with someone who could actually put it to use. Of all the items we got, I think we only like framed a poster and did some other stuff with it. My son is enamored with all things Ghostbusters. We're looking forward to the movie this summer. So obviously that's been delayed, but, you know, probably try to see it in one form or another.
How were you with the all ladies Ghostbusters?
It's pretty low on the Ghostbusters hierarchy. I appreciated that. I thought it looked great. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that the you know, script or, you know, what they did with it lived up to maybe the first two.
Mm.
But, you know, that it's all subjective. So don't hold me to it or whatever.
All right. So
Michael, it's been a tough day over here. Please tell me you know who Bill Murray is.
Well, yeah, but Bill wasn't, I mean, I call him Bill, or Mr. Murray, wasn't in attendance at the fan fest, unfortunately.
Wow.
I guess he's a, you know, particularly contentious one when it comes to, like, the reunions. But, you know, we did get to meet Dan Aykroyd, and, you know, I overheard you asking some of the other listeners about, you know, their marital status or whatnot. And I am married, and my wife and I met at the House of Blues in Hollywood, which Dan Aykroyd was, you know, founding partner of.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to kind of informally, you know, thank him, so to speak, for us coming together. And we've been married 10 years now and have a son. So,
who, we'll go out on a high note. But who was playing at the House of Blues when you met your woman?
Galactic, New Orleans band.
Oh, nice.
Oh, very nice.
All right, thanks, Michael. Good luck unloading that bad boy. And I would... it says Ghostbusters keychain. I'd work bottle opener into it, too.
Yeah.
It's got some utility. All right, outro.
Oh, that's who the fuck sells this shit.
All right, well, Wayne Federman's going to come on. We're going to talk all about stand-up because he's written a book about it and he teaches classes on it as well. All right, we'll talk to Wayne Federman, who's all things comedy. He's an actor, he's a writer, he's a podcaster, he's a musician, he's a comedian. We'll talk to him about the history of stand-up right after this.